Our theme this year is Living the Science of Mind, and we selected this book by Ernest Holmes because it's accessible. It has the same title, Living the Science of Mind. The idea is to focus on our own faith tradition because we've studied everything, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, Christianity, and this year is about looking at the principles of our own faith tradition to see what does it mean to live in this faith called Science of Mind. So this book is accessible because the chapters are short and they're divided easily into topics that have given us focus through the year. Right throughout the music department, through the youth and family church and the adult church, we're all moving along together. We started in January looking at the basic principles of science of mind. In February, we started talking about two elusive subjects, spirituality and religion, to try and build a bridge between the two and find our place, redefine those words. Last month, we talked about divinity. We talked about those big ideas about God that help us explore our relationship to the universe. And this month, we're building the bridge to humanity because we are human. And in this journey, we discover that not only is it important to us to explore our divine nature, but also to figure out some way that that understanding can help us in our path as human beings. So last week we looked at things like that part of us that must be eternal, that part of us that's not caused by anything, neither is it dependent on anything, it's unconditioned. We looked at those qualities and tried to explore them in relationship to our human condition, because as we discovered last week, on this journey of humanness, there come times when that part of us, the divine part, seems way less real than that part of us which toils and troubles and suffers and travels through the valley of the shadow of death. And we talked about how the point of spiritual practice, the whole point of prayer and meditation and study and service and giving, the point of all of that is to reacquaint ourselves with this inner life, to help bring us back, to reawaken that awareness of divinity in us. That's the whole point of spiritual practice. And what better day than this, Easter Sunday, to celebrate the awakening up again to that awareness of inner holiness and wholeness. This Easter Sunday is set aside across Christendom to commemorate hope and new life in the form of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth among Christian observing faiths. When we get to Easter, frequently people will say to me, you know, Edward, why do we observe Easter? Because, you know, we come from different backgrounds. We're Jewish, we're Buddhist, we're agnostic, we're who knows what we are. And here we are, seekers. We come together in one melting pot. And so sometimes people say, why do we observe Easter? And do we believe in the resurrection? People ask the question. Well, I don't know how to answer that for anybody else. I don't even know how to speak on behalf of a denomination. I can only answer for myself. And I answer with a lot of respect for Christianity when I say, personally, I just have no way of knowing about the facts from 2,000 years ago. I just don't know where I am with that. But I do know what the power of a deeply inspiring story has to open my heart. I do know that. I'm no expert in Christianity. I'm certainly no expert in history. I'm not even really clear on why certain things inspire me that don't inspire other people. I don't know why this psalm makes my heart soar, whereas another one doesn't. I don't know why some pieces of abstract art make friends go, wow, whereas I go, wow. I don't know what moves one person, what moves another, but I'm more interested in what the reading talked about, the inner feeling deeper than the intellect that moves me to experience things. And now to give myself permission to go with a story, like the Easter story, it speaks to me. It really does. I gave myself permission to be more deeply moved by stories like the Easter story after I studied Hinduism. Remember a couple of years ago, we looked at Hinduism together, and in the textbook I was reading at the time, it was so helpful because it pointed out the difficulties that the early Christian missionaries had in converting the Hindus. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't convert the Hindus because the Hindus would sit down and listen intently, respectfully, and took it all in and quite frankly believed it. But there was no need for them to convert because the story wasn't really that much more spectacular than any story in their own faith. A God in a heavenly realm, certainly, who comes down to earth mysteriously as his own self in the form of his own offspring, of course. Who is betrayed and murdered, yes. And then is resurrected 3 days later, yes, of course. And then reascends into a heavenly realm in a transfigured state, why not? Hinduism is full of that kind of thing. It's very normal. And deeply satisfying to the people who hear the stories, deeply soul-opening. And the power of the message that is wrapped in between these stories, oh, unless, of course, you're picking it to pieces and trying to understand it with your intellect, then you've got trouble right there. Have you ever read the Ramayana? Or heard it recited, you know, because reading it is one thing, hearing it recited is another. In fact, at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, they have storytelling there, and one of our friends, Hari, recites the Ramayana beautifully. You should get onto the mailing list. You just missed the Ramayana. Fantastic to hear the story, because then you hear the story told, and they're flying machines, and they're demons and champions, heroes, heroines, resurrections, ascensions, holy men, holy children, holy women, saints, sinners, betrayals, reconciliations, transfigurations, miracles, magic. And all of it, every word of it, to tell the exact same story that the Bible tells over and over and over again, whether it is through the story of Job or the story of Easter, or through the miracles of the New Testament. And I'm not talking about the history of how a thing happens, and I'm not talking about the rational facts and are they possible. I'm talking about the message that is woven throughout it all that says this, that God is the center of our lives. And if we should fall into the darkest death-like sleep, there will nevertheless come a time for all of us when we will rise again and take our place among the living and be joyous again.